Voices Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is February 12, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize that we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Things are much closer than you think. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message, and I will get back to you. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. You know, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. Now, I always talk about how, you know, prophecyhour.com is smartphone-friendly, and branch.podomatic is smartphone-friendly, which is our end-time radio archives. But something that we've been touching on, we have started uploading videos to YouTube. And as my son explains to me, YouTube's on most smartphones, the app's already there. On DVD players, the app's already there. We do put these programs up, like tonight, Thursday night, after we put them up in podcast, we will also put them up on YouTube, and there's been a huge increase in people listening to these programs at the YouTube site. So if you already have the app for YouTube, you can find it, but I'm not sure exactly. I haven't Googled it to find out how it is, because I have a link at prophecyhour.com that says Messiah's Branch YouTube videos on the right side of it. And so hit that, get over there, bookmark it, and then you can listen to it on YouTube if that's the way you want it while we're so try it out. Join the other people that are listening. And what I would ask from you is, I know a lot of you people don't want to give donations to radio. I mean, come on, YouTubes are free, radio's free. You can get just about anything you want on radio. Well, you know, our key to being able to get more people to support our ministry and to support this radio program is if you share the programs with others. And so if you increase our listening audience, you know, for every 1,000 people, maybe, you know, one or two may donate. And that's what we need. So please do that, folks, please. Now, I'm going to say a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. And for the record, if my voice, yeah, it's bad, that's because I missed last week. Because, you know, I work around the poor people, and I get all kinds of different, you know, they have all kinds of different bugs and things. And so I would ask that, you know, you remember that, because I'm acceptable to, you know, all these different sicknesses. And yes, and for the record, you know, while radio is kind of free for anybody that has the internet, we do have to pay for radio airtime. So pray about supporting radio airtime. Now prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. And so please, Father, tonight, please, please bless this program. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's guest has been on with us many times before. I keep bringing him back on because so many people like to hear him. He's an Army veteran that served his country in Korea. In 1976, he became the first foreigner in Korea to win a Korean title, Taekwondo middleweight champion. living what he called an unrestrained lifestyle after his discharge from the Army. At some point, he moved to Oklahoma and basically met God and got saved. He's traveled the country as an evangelist, and there is much more to his story. And you can find all of that at his website, which is SureWordOfProphecy.org, SureWordOfProphecy.org. We'll get into that later. But anyway, tonight he's back on to talk with us about the day of Yahweh's visitation. He says he'll be providing an extensive picture through different prophets of how this day is approaching and what it'll look like and what we're warned to look out for. I think we'll need to pay attention to this program. And so let's welcome back Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Maranatha, and peace to you, brother. How are you feeling today?
Well, physically-wise, I'm feeling good, but my voice, as you can tell, isn't back all the way. And, you know, because I got asthma, whenever I get a cold or the flu, that's where it always settles at, you know. So even if I get over the aches and pains and all the other stuff, you know, I have to spend a little bit of time to recover my voice. And, you know, that's one of the good reasons I have you on. You're such a great talker.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, they tell me I'm a never end, kind of like a reverend, never but end. I'm never end. I never end when I say
never
something.
End. So. Yeah. Well, and we have never end Steve on with us. That sounds good.
That's it. Well, brother, it's a joy to be on your program this evening. I'm glad to hear that you're feeling better. I know you've been down with the flu bug there for a while. Yahweh proclaims himself as a great healer, and we will be continuing to throw our prayers up for you, brother. Your voice sounds better from what it was last evening when I talked with you. Hallelujah.
Yeah, praise the Father. Couple things, you know, I've noticed you did some improvements on your site. Before we get into what you want to talk about, why don't you tell the people a little bit about your site? And I especially like that link that I read everything it says about the presenter, where you talked about your past and everything and how you came about to be where you're at.
Yes, I think that is, you know, you can go through seminary or cemetery, as I call it, and understand all kinds of theological ramifications of what the Godhead is all about and understand all the mysteries of Scripture. But what really impresses me about the movement of God in my own life is what he's done in my life, and it's experiential. It's not theoretical. You can argue with the Bible and people about the Bible, but you can't argue about the experience. And I have, I was born and raised in Southern California, and I'm the first Henderson to break the vicious cycle of atheism and agnosticism in my family, and first believer, you know, as far back as you can see.
Amen.
And, I grabbed a hold of a Bible as it was given to me at the right time in my life when I was 33 years old, and began to study Bible prophecy. And it was Bible prophecy that confirmed with me that there is one that knows the end from the beginning. And as I dug deeper, the deeper it went. And so I began to recognize that what was said in the Scripture was truth, and I began to do my investigative journey and accepted the Lord Yeshua as my Savior, and I have been on an absolutely awesome journey. And I share that story on my website. For those of you who haven't read that, maybe you get a little encouragement by reading that, because it is a real-life story, and the end is not yet. I still believe God has a calling for my life. I've been through 6 major auto wrecks, 2 near-death drownings. I've had a pistol stuck to my head. I've been cut up with a barbershop straight razor. Fought in tough man contests. Was a black belt fighter in the ring. And now I fight for the Lord. And I want to praise him for what he's done for me in my life.
Yeah, amen. I found such a lot of similar things in your life that was in my life. As you know, I was an outlaw biker, the worst of the worst. And so it would take hours for us to go through all that, so I won't. But I found a lot of similar things in it, and it is an experience. But like last hour, I was talking with a fellow that wrote a book. You've seen The American Sniper. Have you seen that book or movie?
I haven't, no.
You haven't? Well, you should see it. In the movie, Chris Kyle's friend gets shot in the movie, and it, make a long story short, his story is about faith and what he went through and changed his life and making him saved, and it's a really good example. We are molded by our life, but that's what the Father allows us to go through in order to that he might refine us, put us in the fire, and makes us better so that we'll be with him. Back to you.
Absolutely, brother. And what encourages me is by looking at my own experience, there is no one out there that cannot be reached by the Almighty loving Father. And that encourages me as I go and sow my seeds with people who do not know him. All our job is to cultivate and to sow the seed. And it's Yahweh's blessing that comes upon the seed. It brings it out of the ground. So I'm not unsuccessful when I sow my seed because I know that God is going to bring some of it to good fruit. And I appreciate, brother, the opportunity to sow good seed on your program because I believe we are looking at the day of Yahweh's visitation, and that is what I'd like to kind of share with your audience tonight. There's been several examples of visitation in Scripture, and yet there's going to be a real big one coming, and I don't think that many are quite aware of the timing of this visitation. And so we can go back to Noah's day and recognize that at a particular time, see, God is not some creator that created man and created the earth and then left it off to tick by itself. But he is a personal creator who is very, very attentive to every person and everything that has happened. And at certain point in time, he went down and visited in a day of Noah. And the earth had become so polluted with a cesspool of evil under the leadership of the evil one that Lucifer put in the heart of man wickedness. And it was great in the earth, and every imagination of the earth was only evil continually. And so the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. And so God's perfect creation had now become a habitation of Lucifer's followers. You know, the master of wicked intent was puffed up and ecstatic about his worldwide following, so little devil Noah, the Almighty was about ready to intervene and come down and do his work on the earth. And no longer would grace tolerate willful rebellion. And make no mistake about it, brother, bad choices will sometimes take a while to see the results, but there is always a payday, and God's forbearance has his limits, and he will visit on certain occasions, as he has exhibited. So the ones that he created in his own image and entrusted the care of the earth to had now corrupted it beyond God's mercy, and now he was grieved to the point of intervention. And peace on earth and goodwill toward man had ended, and now only a radical act of cleansing judgment would extract the malignant tumor that consumed the earth, and now it was time to bring humanity to account. And we all know the story of what happened. Only eight survived, and Peter said that this thing's going to happen again, once a time by flood, and a second time he's going to intervene by fire. And make no mistake, as sure as the word says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Remember at the Tower of Babel, after the flood, when they began to build up a big city and a big tower, and they were stretching to the heavens, God said, let's go down there and let's intervene because it looks like they have become one, and because they have been that way, there's nothing that's going to keep them from doing anything they want to do. So he came down and intervened and visited the earth once more, and he confused the language of the people, and they were scattered across the face of the land. We see many times in Scripture where visitation happens, and unknowingly does it happen. Now, Noah gave a warning. In the visitation of the Tower of Babel, there wasn't much of a warning there. But when the Messiah showed up, according to the prophecies of Daniel, he showed up right on time. And the prophets and the ones who were reading the Torah ought to have known when the Messiah came. And there were some wise ones who were studying and knew the time of the visitation, and they came to the Messiah in a little place where he was born, called Bethlehem, and gave gifts to the Messiah. But as he was riding into Jerusalem, the God squad, the teachers, had no clue that was the Messiah, even though they had plenty of evidence to know that God had visited them through his son, Yeshua. And the baby was born, and the proclamation was made through John the Baptist. Hey, this is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And through all the miracles and all of the things that they had seen before their very eyes, they are rebuking the disciples for saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna." And the Pharisees and the God Squad rebuked the disciples and said, "Teacher, rebuke the disciples." And Yeshua said to them, "I tell you, if they quiet down, then the stones will cry out." And when he approached, he saw the city and he wept over it. And he made this declaration, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for your peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." Mm-hmm. You see, brother, I believe that God has given us evidence replete and complete to help us to understand those who are watchers and who are hungry and thirsty for truth will understand that they, as the men of Issachar in the book of Chronicles, they understood the times and they knew what to do. And there is a visitation coming, brother, and it's so clear in my thinking that there's one coming that's going to shake and rattle and roll the whole earth. And the prophets, all of the prophets, spoke about this particular day, and it's called the Day of Yahweh, or the Day of the Lord. And I'm fascinated that you do not hear very much about this particular scenario when God visits this earth for the last time. What do you think about that, brother?
Well, I think absolutely in the American church, they don't talk about it. They have too many they don't look at the Old Testament. They're just not open. They're preaching too many other things like Yeshua isn't going to even, they don't even act like he's going to come for 30, 40, or even within their lifetimes. But if you look at the Middle East, the people that are turning to Christ, whether it's even in China in less than 10 years, if we make it that far, can have more Christians than anywhere. Muslims by the millions are turning to Christ every year. We're seeing Christianity explode across the world, but not in the Western world. And that's where I think that we really are going to get a shakeup. But the signs are all there if you just look, but they're not preaching the signs in America.
And absolutely, because of the signs, the Pharisees and Sadducees did not recognize Messiah. And now about 80% of those over there, the Orthodox Jews, are still looking for Messiah to show up because they did not recognize the signs. And yet Yeshua is very clear about what would happen shortly before his return, and we all know of the list. But, you know, at some point in time, not only are you seeing the Middle East unraveling before our very eyes, but you're seeing a great surge of different nations that are turning their backs against Israel. I think this is a phenomenal sign, and I think that God's about to visit something here, very evidently. You have ISIS heading toward Jerusalem. You have Iran calling for the destruction and a 9-point plan to destroy Israel. You have Hamas in their chapter that says they are going to destroy Israel. You have Hezbollah on the north side who is getting ready to go to war with Israel. You have Jordan who is threatening, of course, right now they're kind of preoccupied because they just lost a pilot over there, and now they're turned against ISIS. But there is some phenomenal things taking place. The United States is virtually, especially with this administration, has turned their back on Israel. And I think there are going to be consequences. We remember the old statement that was made by Yahweh himself to Abraham. "I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in this administration, Obama and Netanyahu aren't seeing eye to eye. And
let me ask you a question, Steve.
Yes.
Do you not think that, look, we know that in the finale of things that Yeshua comes back and he steps in for Israel and saves Israel, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Having said that, there's more to it. So,
yes, there is.
All along, though, we have a nation that you know, like you say, the Orthodox, well, there's many Jews, and I've interviewed a Jew, Zev Porat, from over there, where he talks about how many Jews have turned to Christ, but are just not coming out with it. But for the most part, they're not turning to Christ because they don't have the thing that they need. They have America as a protector, and America can't be their protector, because they're going to have to rely on Yahweh and Yeshua, and that's how they'll accept their Savior. So it's almost like, you know, Obama as president, this administration had to be here for these times to come about, for America to be taken out of the way in some manner so that Israel would have to rely upon Yahweh. What do you think?
Brother, any time a great nation has been visited by God, he's put a wicked ruler in place. Now, I don't want those who are, you know, to misconstrue what I'm saying. I'm not calling Obama evil, but I am saying that I believe that he has sure changed he's had some serious issues with administration decisions, especially in foreign policy and especially toward Israel, and I think there are going to be consequences because of it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So there is a visitation coming, very evidently, and because Yeshua was replete with signs, and he said there's going to be signs not only with the warring of nations and the rumors of war, which you cannot ignore. I mean, just turn your television set on and hear of all the war rhetoric. At some point in time, and it's just a matter of just a little bit more time. I don't know how long, brother, but I really believe that I visualize, as we've seen in Revelation, the seventh chapter, the four winds being held back by four angels. And I think there's a restraining.
Well,
you know?
We're talking about time. We're out of time for the first half. You got 30 seconds about to tell where your website's at, and then we'll come back, and I'll let you talk.
Okay, brother. That's surewordprophecy.org. I do try to keep an update on the prophetic news. I've been kind of doing some construction projects, so I'm coming a little bit behind on the current news, but keep an eye on that. I'll try to keep you updated as we go along.
All right. Well, you're a blessing, brother. And, folks, we'll come back and listen more to what Steve has to say about the time of his visitation. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back. Few things in this world are more important than clean, pure water. Understanding this, ABR makes 4 tabletop water distillers available to you for purchase. First, we have the 5.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $139. The second is a 5.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $189. The third is a 3.5 hour per gallon with polycarbonate collection jug for $189. And our premier tabletop distiller is a 3.5 hour per gallon with glass collection jug for $250. All our distillers have a stainless steel boiling pot, dome, and cooling tubes. And the premier version also has a splash flap to protect against contamination of the cooling tubes. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com for more information and protect your water supply.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Glorens, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, this is time in the program where we always ask you to pray about taking care, you know, helping us take care of the poor. You know, that's the poor that come to us from all over the city, and not only homeless, but the poor. Of course, the homeless are poor, but we're talking about we get women in there with children and men, and we feed them and clothe them and give them Bibles, and we give them, you know, books sometimes that people send us and miracle prayers. They're treated like human beings. We have relationships with them, and that's what counts and that's what helps. And so people come to us for those things, and they come getting over-the-counter medications and so on and so forth. And, you know, people think, well, you know, you're on talk radio. You ought to be getting millions of dollars in. Well, we're not some big super program, you know, like, well, I think we're a great program, and we do get across warning you. We're not like Rush Limbaugh and all these other people. We are a small program. And so out of probably every thousands or a couple of thousand people that listen, you know, maybe just one or two donate. But it's those donations that make the Mission Church work, because we can't afford to pay for all. We can't get the money from the poor, because that's who we're helping. So it's people like you that has helped this Mission Church stay open for the last 15 years. You know, thousands upon thousands of people being helped. And we even, like I was talking on the earlier program today, right now we're trying to help a family find their veteran husband because he's suffering post-traumatic stress, and he left home because of it and afraid that he might hurt his wife or his child. Well, they found help for him, and they're trying to contact him. Well, we've already located him and know that he's alive. We haven't made the connection yet with his family, but we're doing that. We're able to comfort. We do things that nobody else does. And so pray about it. We really do need your help. And, you know, we are our brother's keepers. We're supposed to care one for another. And so we really do need your help. The Father notices all donations, but he especially notices the donations that come from where? Your heart, that's where. And so pray about it. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And pray about it. You know, right now, we still haven't got all the bills and everything paid from last month, and, you know, that really falls a lot on my wife, because she takes care of those bills and things, and she agonizes over them, and so she's telling me right now we need to raise a couple of $1,000 to cover those things and, you know, ease her burden and to make things easier. So pray about it. We could use a donation from you tonight if you can do it by electronic means, or, like I say, you can mail it in. But if you mail something in, I always ask that you send me an email and let me know that it's coming. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682, and I can tell you how to do that. But also want to point out one last thing before I bring Steve back on. He's probably tired of hearing me talk. But I want you to remind you that, as my son did, that we're getting a big upswing in people listening on YouTube. Now, I always mention the podcast site and all those other things, but at YouTube, we do post the programs. They'll be up, the two programs I did tonight. We'll be up there later on tonight. And, you know, most people in their smartphone, my son says, there's already an app to YouTube. And like on your TV set, you can get YouTube and so on and so forth. So these programs are available on YouTube, and there's a link on my website for that. So pray about it. And remember, share these programs with others. And now we're back with Steve Henderson talking about the time of his visitation. And I'm sure, well, let's ask Steve. Whose visitation, Steve? Are you there?
Brother, I'm here, and I just want to, again, commend you and build your audience. I won't agree with you. I think that what you're doing is a tremendous work, and that is what being a believer is all about, being the hands and heart of Yeshua to help others, and that's what we're going to be judged on when he intervenes in the human scenario again one more time. When he comes, he will be separating the sheep from the goats, and he's going to say to his one hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the eternal kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. And when I was in prison and sick, you visited me. And as much as you've done it to them, you've done it to me." And yes, there's going to be a visitation upon God's people who say they are believers, yet are so self-centered and such tightwads with what they have, and they're going to be found to be wanting when it comes in the time of judgment. And it's not the truth of how much we know about Bible, but it's what we do with what we do know about how Jesus loved and so loved that he gave. And we are also to freely receive. We freely give. And bless you, brother, for your work.
Amen. Thank you. But it's
okay,
all
yeah,
about
so,
go ahead.
The intervention that we're looking for is, as the earth grows darker and darker, the Bible declares that there's going to be a very dark day coming. And a day of gloominess and a day of darkness, as the prophet Joel says. And I really appreciate the Old Testament. There are a lot of people who say, "Oh, brother, the Old Testament's done away with," and, you know. But all of the prophets, most of all the prophets in the Old Testament, wrote about the day of the Lord and a day of visitation, and provide an extreme hope that one day God will intervene and take us out of this evil world and place us in a world where there be no pain, no sorrow, no crying, no more sorrow, and death will no longer be part of this equation anymore. And God himself will wipe away his tears from our eyes, and he'll be our God, and we'll be his people. And that's the intervention I'm looking for. How about that, brother? That sound good
to you? Amen. Amen. Sounds great to me. I can't wait.
The book of Revelation describes an intervention very clearly, that at the time when evil prevails in men's hearts, I believe it's the same kind of situation as Yeshua said it would be as in the days it was in Noah, that you look all around and it is evil, and war is on the horizon, an extreme war, war within families. I'm on the phone every day, brother, with broken families. That's what I do for a living in my day job. And wars in the families, wars between nations, and there is war coming that's going to surpass anything we've ever seen. In fact, the scripture declares that had not time been shortened and Christ not intervened, no flesh will be saved. And yet, for the elect's sake, hallelujah, he is going to intervene in the spectrum of delivering us from this evil world. And the Revelator declares, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were as flame of fire, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Yes, on that great day, brother, the Lord will make the proud shrink to nothing, and he will intervene, and he will bring the armies from heaven that follow him upon white horses. And imagine the magnificence of such an intervention of this event. Now, judgment carries out the divine arraignment contained in the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God upon evil people. You know, we have these people that are getting away with all kinds of murders and thievery, and you know, the prisons are packed full of people. You have people sitting on death row that have murdered millions, you know, millions of people that have murdered people, and they're sitting out, you know, getting 3 square meals a day, watching satellite TV. But one day God's going to intervene and bring justice and judge the world for their evil. And he's going to deliver his righteous from it. And the scripture declares in the book of Psalms, what a picture. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry, and smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. There's his intervention with darkness under his feet from the brightness before him, and his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire. This, the darkness finally gives way as Yahweh illuminates it all. How about that, brother?
Yeah. Absolutely, and I want to throw in there, you know, so many people miss that they think the gospel, you know, why? Sure, the gospel's about being saved, giving salvation, and when he comes back, that they gain that reward, but they miss that, the part that you said, he brings justice to the nations. That's what he brings. He brings justice, and that's a big thing.
Yes, sir, and when he intervenes, brother, that's what's coming. Payday's coming, brother. The scripture also declares, the Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire, he sent out his arrows and scattered the foes. Lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, at the blast of your nostrils. Before the hailstones arrived to melt it all, the heart of man will melt in terror as the Lord thunders and roars. And all those atheists that that have scoffed and laughed and mimicked Christians are going to hide under the rocks for the fear of him who sits upon the throne, who's coming down out of the sky and intervening in earth's final movements. The scripture also says in the book of Joel, the Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? In this fighting day, brother, everyone realizes it's too late to change its course. And I think it's high time, brother, that we seriously examine our hearts and get sin out of our lives. You know, there are too many people that are playing with sin in church. I know pornography is a big deal in a lot of Christians' lives. I pastored a church for 6 years and dealt with that in my church. But, you know, and it's all over the place. People are holding on to sin, and they're prosperity preachers say, oh, brother, just sow the $1,000 seed and you'll get $10,000. And they're looking in the wrong direction, and they don't realize that God is about to come and intervene and judge the earth for the foolishness of false teachers and false prophets. He said, I'm warning you, in a day just before I visit the earth, there are going to be many false prophets and false teachers arise and deceive a few. Is that what he said? No,
yeah,
he said
absolutely.
They're going to deceive many. That's what he said. And were great signs and wonders, if it were possible, would deceive the very elect. And he's warning us, brother. I'm getting ready to intervene, but before I do, there are going to be a lot of false teachers and false prophets you're going to have to look out for, and you'll know that my visitation is close when you see this happen. Amen?
Yeah. Amen. I want to give this scripture. I looked it up, and that's what I was doing when you said something to me. But Zephaniah 1:14 says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wasteness, a day of desolations, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as dung. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, brother, you know, I just don't think that many people are prepared for this day. Of course, I think the theology that dictates that is this doctrine of the unprepared, where we feel that the church will be taken out of this place. But, you know, in my estimation of things, that's an absolute, pure, unadulterated false doctrine. And I see the saints of God right in the middle of it, even though, as in the book of Psalms, it says that if you go through those plagues, they will not come near your dwelling. You know, 10,000 might fall on one side and 1,000 by the other, but the hand of the Almighty is going to cover you in this day as he did Israel when he brought him out of Egypt. And I see the plagues in Egypt and the plagues at the end in the book of Revelation being in the same parallel. God got them through the plagues in Egypt, and he's going to get them through the final seven plagues, which are the wrath of God contained in the last seven plagues at the end. And there will be some who will be alive and remain to go through this and see this. But the scripture very clearly says that when intervention comes, most of the earth is going to be deceived. And it says in the book of Revelation 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Picture the two armies, the army of Yeshua and the army of the devil's kingdom, there to fight as the earth's cedars closes and Yeshua intervenes one more time to take out the enemy, which is Satan and his and all of his angels. So it's coming, brother. And I want to share one more intervention.
Go ahead.
With you that I find in scripture that needs to be mentioned, and that is the intervention at the final intervention of Judgment Day. And the scripture declares, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. There was no more place found for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before Yahweh. Wow, what an intervention this is going to be when finally the final decisions have been made. And those who are now dead are now raised in the last resurrection or the second resurrection. And at that day, brother, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that, in fact, Yeshua was the way, the truth, and life. Buddhists will be in terror as their chantings and bowing down to images of Buddha cannot protect them from the sight of the holy God as they affix their eyes and see him as he really is. Nirvana couldn't measure up to his righteous requirement. Islamists that deny the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ will be in shock when they see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, face to face. Those who are expected to be in the presence of 72 virgins after fighting the infidels now find out that their religious pursuit was psychopathic. And now they're only beholden the face of him whom heavens and the earth flees away, and they weep as they see the God of Israel, of whom they persecuted, with vengeance. And with religious pretensions stripped from his hiding place, the hypocrites will rise up in the wrong resurrection. No longer could the homosexual priest get away from hiding behind the pulpit of Yahweh while fondling little boys. Those who had made millions off the generosity of their congregations to buy airplanes and build empires now stand before an almighty God in the last intervention to give account of their stewardship. One of the frightening questions they will have to answer to the Maker: Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked or a stranger or in prison and did not minister to you? And all those religious folks that claim to be doctrinally correct are now judged not by what they knew to be truth, but by the way they met the needs of those who were less fortunate. Theological differences that separated the churches from unity, Bible study arguments, and the pride of denominational exclusivity to the keys of the kingdom will now gnash their teeth with fright of the righteous judgment. Many will come that day and say, Lord, we've prophesied your name and cast out demons and did many wonderful works in your name. And again, the fakes will hear the terrifying words of condemnation: depart from you, you who practice lawlessness. And those false teachers who crept into the church unaware will receive stricter judgment for leading others away from obedience to God's holy law. I believe, brother, in the heart of the Ten Commandments, which are kept in his temple in heaven, according to Revelation 11:19, which shine forth from the Ark of his testament, they will be judged by that law of liberty, and that which is written in stone had never been written in the hearts of those people. And those no law, all grace teachers realize it's too late to change from doers of iniquity to law-abiding citizens of the kingdom. And in those in the name of God who forced people into slavery, killed their heretics, blew themselves up with bombs, and strapped to eliminate the unbelievers, will see that God as he really is. They see that he's a God of love, a defender of the poor, the fatherless, and the righteous lawgiver, and he's going to intervene for those people. And the counting of religious beads, the reciting of repetitive religious phrases, the bowing of graven images in the church will be brought into the light of a holy God. Too late will it be to change the insane idea that the Almighty was pleased with such religious nonsense. Church leaders who mislead their assemblies to believe that God could only be found in their church will discover that God is bigger than a building. Denominationalism will vanish away in the sight of the Almighty's divine justice. And those who taught others that salvation could only be found in their church will find that many other denominational leaders which taught a false gospel are in the same place, the second resurrection, only with a teeth-grinding day that will be. And the more vile and atrocious of humanity, who led millions to death, wait at the back of the judgment line. Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, Nero, and other hundreds of thousands like them, as they watch those going before them being cast into a lake of fire, the Almighty will have a special reward for those merciless people who did their lawless deeds. And vengeance now comes out in fury for those who are even more deserving of dissolution. You know, God will impart a payback especially designed for the most sinister, and he will intervene with the evil people. And, brother, I'm so encouraged that that's not the last of the story. The intervention that I see, my friend, that he's coming to deliver his people, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And I don't know about you, brother, I've lost a son of cancer. And one day I'm going to see my son pop out of the ground, and I'm going to meet him in the air, and I'm always going to be with him, with him, Lord. And he's going to intervene there, and it makes that everything that we suffer on this earth, light in light of the promises that we have ahead of us. Eyes have not seen, brother, or ears heard, the incredible beauty of the new creation, which he is going to create, and that's why he's coming for that last final intervention.
Boy, amen. Powerful words. If I was there in front of you, I'd be yelling. I'd be standing up and saying, amen, brother, amen, you know. I love it. But you know what you're preaching, the church seems to lack it, you know. They preach soft doctrine and, you know, the body of Messiah is not being woke up. That's why I'm praying that the Father at first gives some sort of judgment in part to America that doesn't completely destroy, that will maybe wake up and give a chance to some of these people so that they might see. What do you think?
Brother, I believe that it's time to wake up out of our sleep.
Yeah.
I just believe that we are facing the day of God's visitation. And I was beginning to share with you, I envision these four winds that are being held back as described in the book of Revelation. There is a sealing taking place in the minds, in the foreheads of his people. And I believe there are, it says multitudes in the valley of decision in the day of the Lord. It's time to get serious about our relationship, about our religion. And the church is not a building. The church is, the word ecclesia is, means called out ones. And I see tribulation coming, and it's going to bring a lot of believers together out of these different places. And the true believers are going to be looking and praying for God's intervention. It says that we should be praying, thy kingdom come. And that intervention is coming, brother. His kingdom is coming, and we need to repent, for the kingdom of God is near.
Yes, amen, most assuredly. And we can see that by all the signs that are around us, simply all the evilness. And, you know, just like now they're putting pornography out in the theaters, the new Shades of Grey, whatever that partake. And how many are flocking to it? Point being is evil is being put out and goodness isn't. And so the signs are around us. And the people, you know where they need to be at, Steve? The one place they need to be at, they need to be on their knees right now and praying for that relationship. What do you think?
Yes, I think so. And those who are still scoffing at the idea of God, those atheists, they're going to be in shock, brother, when their mouths are going to be stopped by the most terrifying image when God intervenes, this invisible God they say is around. They're going to see that God made them believers way too late. And although they could see his invisible attributes by the things which were made, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And for those people who still are looking at the idea, whether it's a God or not, I don't know if you're out there or not, but I think this idea of believing in evolution and these type of things, you need to be searching the scriptures for light and truth. Because Yeshua came to say the vilest of sinners, in which I am probably the chief. And I know that I used to be one, and I know that God intervened in my life. He intervened and brought me joy and hope, and a blessed hope that one day Jesus is coming back, and he has given me eternal life. He's given me an eternal inheritance, and he offers that to you as much as he does to me. And friends, if you hear anything I say, intervention is coming. And
amen.
You need to be ready. Watch and pray that you be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen. Well, Steve, we've come to the end of the program. I'm sure you'll be back on. I always love it when you come on, and I know that you'll come back, brother, and the message is always sound and good for the people. And so I just ask that the Father to bless your household and bless you tonight for this that you're putting out. So bless you, brother, and we'll talk again. Goodbye and shalom.
Thank you for the blessing, brother. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, wake up. You need to be on your knees. You need to have that personal relationship worked out. You need to get into the Word. You walk into a church and aren't preaching repentance, something's wrong. You need to repent. Nobody is good. You should have said, no one's good. So we need to be in repentance. You need to have that personal relationship. And as normal, I'm running out of time, but I'm going to make one more plea to you. Please pray about support for Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. And we're looking for a sponsor, for somebody that would come forward and pay for our monthly newsletter that we haven't been able to put out in a couple of months. I got to go. You must remember that there is only one God. He is your Father. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, just as he said he would. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always be a blessing to others. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.